for. You can be turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Watching Alicia sing there with her daughter. Remember the day she was born. God's blessed in so many ways. Thank you, Lord. Please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. We'll read there in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11. And we'll begin reading, and we'll be looking at several places in this chapter, but we'll begin reading in verse 25. Excuse me. Too much to thank God for. Amen. We read there, beginning of verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Father, once again, we bow before you, asking you to pronounce your blessing upon your word. I'm asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to use it in our hearts and in our lives today. Lord, I don't know what the need might be across this auditorium. It might be there's some struggling and battling under the burden of sin today. Oh, God, I beg you in Jesus' name, hold up your Son before their eyes that they might see this one who loves them and cared about them and extends his invitation to them. Come unto me. Oh, Lord, please help every one of us that are saved to fall deeper and deeper with the God of glory and with his Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy to us. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. It's a blessing to be able to open the Word of God, the Gospels, and look into the invitations that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. I'm amused by those who object to giving an invitation in conjunction with the preaching and teaching of the Word of God for folks to simply respond to what they hear. And what God might be doing in their heart. The Lord Jesus gives several invitations in His preaching and teaching, and so I don't think it's right for us to do any less. And as we look at the Lord's invitations, we see Him giving those for different reasons. Different reasons in a variety of situations to meet various needs. Now, we're going to look at just one of those today, and we'll see where we go from here. But I just love to allow the Word of God to just settle into my heart. Beloved, it's good at times to not just hurry through your study time, your time with the Lord, But just to allow the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, to settle in. And some of you older folks understand what this means, that to simply percolate in your heart. Just to settle in and soak in. In that way, what you're reading becomes real and in a way personal. Personal, as if the Lord's speaking right to you. I believe this is a personal passage for the Lord Jesus Christ's heart. In these six verses that we read, He either speaks to His Father in His Father's name or of His Father five times in six verses. Well, it should be our desire to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach them the way He reached folks. And so we need to continually listen to Him and learn as He challenges us, even in this passage. Well, as we get into it, I want us to look at the Lord's invitation here. And we see it's an invitation to come to Him. I'd say it's an invitation to be saved, for salvation. And we read those verses. And what the Lord Jesus Christ says in these verses cannot really, as all Scripture, they can't be separated from the context in which we find them. We always interpret or seek to interpret Scripture in its context. Well, it says in verse 25 that the Lord Jesus Christ... Well, let's back up. Let's go ahead and look back in our passage to verse 20. It says in verse 20, then began the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done. Because, or why? Because they repented not. They refused. We'll be looking at the subject of repentance in more detail in this evening's message. But here we see that they refused to repent, to turn to Him. He says in verse 21, woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven. Why was Capernaum exalted unto heaven? Well, Capernaum had become the very place from which the Lord Jesus Christ ministered. It was, in a sense, His home base. Capernaum had the privilege of having the Son of God, God the Son, use it. It had been exalted. Even, it says, to heaven. Heaven had come to Capernaum. He goes on. He says, thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment than for thee. Wow. Pretty serious, wouldn't you say? How He indeed upbraids these cities. He pronounces great woe upon Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He declares that judgment and hell were in their future. Wow, isn't that something? We see the same thing today, don't we? The wholesale rejection of the things of God. You and I are kooks, and we're just ridiculous that we would even believe this antiquated book. So be it. I'm going to believe God rather than man. The rejection of God's truth. Paul spoke to this in Romans in chapter 2 and verse 4, speaking to those who in his day would reject the Word of God. He says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness?" The idea of that word despiseth there means to scorn or to look down on. Are not believers, are not Bible believers looked down on in our day? Again, so be it. I accept that. Huh? The truth will be made known. Despiseth the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What's Paul saying? It's God's goodness to you, to this world, to this lost world that is rejecting it, that He has not brought His judgment already. But friends, imagine the heart of the Savior. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And He is compelled to deliver such a stern message to these cities who had enjoyed, what did He say? What does the Scripture say? Most of the, they had witnessed the majority of His great works and teachings. Wow. The Bible says, again, that God doesn't desire that any should perish. So imagine His heart. In Ezekiel chapter 33, in verse 11, it says this, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn ye," He says, "from your evil ways." What's God's desire? That we repent and turn towards Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. So upon that thought, upon this statement concerning those who had rejected Him, despised His teaching, Jesus answers. And how does He answer the sad thought of His rejection by those cities? He answers by turning to His Father. What's it say in verse 25? "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." He's addressing His Father here. Wow. He answers by turning to His Father in thanksgiving. Yes, these cities had rejected Him, but He turns to His Father in thanksgiving for that assurance that, beloved, there will be those that will get saved, that will not reject Him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, as we just said, He says, let me read the last part of that, "Because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." The so-called wise and prudent of the day were the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, they were the ones, those ones educated, educated beyond their intelligence, I guess, educated in the Old Testament Scriptures. They were the ones that should have recognized. They should have been the ones pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than that, they were rejected Him and scorned. They despised His message. But in contrast to that, Jesus rejoices that His Father is pleased to reveal truth to babes. Huh? Babes. The word for babes there is the word for infants, newborns. And so here, in the context of our passage, it refers to those simple folk that wanted to hear Him, wanted the truth. God was pleased to open the understanding of the common folk of the day to hear the gospel. Again, those fishermen and others that followed Jesus so diligently. The truth is, we understand. The truth is, most will reject Christ. You may think, oh, Pastor, What a pessimistic thing to say. Well, beloved, I don't want to be pessimistic. I want to be biblical. But Jesus proclaimed that there would be more that would reject him than would we receive him, that would believe on him. He declared in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, where he cries out, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Well, we could dwell on the negative side of that, but I rather rejoice that there are those, there will be those that will believe, that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is easy to become discouraged with the carelessness with which men live their lives and their lack of concern concerning their destiny. They seem to be oblivious and without care of what's ahead. And I believe we share. Now listen, I believe, whatever that's worth, that we share the heart of God when we grieve over the multitudes who are passing into eternity without Christ. Huh? Oh my, but take hope. Take hope, dear ones. What does Jesus, he speaks to his Father. He says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Huh? There's still a God on the throne of this universe. And there are those who will believe, that will put their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ, and be delivered and forgiven of their sin, even in these last days. Huh? Well, we see the Lord's invitation. Skip down with me here to verse 28 of our passage. Verse 28, really the theme of our message here. It says, Jesus then calls out. Well, let me back up and read in verse 26. It says, "Even so, Father." He's still addressing his Father. And I believe his prayer here is public. It's before all those that were present. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Aren't you thankful that God was pleased to open up your understanding of the gospel? I'm so grateful for that. Hey, it took a while to soak in this guy's thick skull. But I'm thankful that God didn't give up on me. I'm thankful that he was pleased to reveal himself to me. And when the lights came on, when those lights of Christ came on and we called out to him, it is indeed something to praise God for. In verse 27, it says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And then Jesus turns to the multitude and he says to the multitude, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We see his invitation. His invitation to come. Now I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at some things about this invitation. First, the question, who is it that is invited to come? Who's invited? He says, "Come unto me, all ye." Huh? All ye that labor and are heavy laden. How limited is this gospel? As some would like to say. It's limited to all. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Huh? These words are surely an invitation, are they not, from Jesus? To all who are weary, all who are burdened. And his invitation is to them is to come. And what? Find rest. for their soul. Now again, the overriding context and message of the pastor is that this is an invitation to those that are struggling with that exhausting weight of their sin. Friend, if you're here this morning, I want to ask you, are you weary? Are you weary of the battle with sin? Have you struggled to the point maybe of hopelessness and trying to deal with sin in and through yourself? Are you weary with the weight of the burden of sin on your life? If you are, we've got good news. If you are one of those, the Son has revealed Himself to you. When we come to that place, Lord, I can't carry this burden. I can't bear this weight anymore. I need You, Lord. I come to You. The invitation is from the Lord Jesus Christ to come. To whom are they invited? We see that all are invited to come. Well, who are they invited to? Jesus says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. And again, that invitation came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to come, but to come to Him. Come unto the One. The only One who is able to deliver from that awful burden of sin. How many ways are there to God? I was asking that question in our Sunday school class this morning. How many ways are there to God? Well, understand this. It depends on who you ask that question. Is that not true? Many in this world would say to you, well, there's many ways to God. They want a Burger King religion. What's the old motto? Have it your way. But that's not the way it works. Come unto the One, the only One who is able to deliver from that awful burden of sin. Jesus Himself declared that He was the one and the only way. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Peter preached there early in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Now listen to this. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven. That covers some territory, beloved. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One way. And instead of begrudging those or complaining or ridiculing those who preach that one and only way, why do they not rejoice that God has given the way? God has made that way open to any and all who would believe on Him. Receive Him as Savior. To whom are they invited? They're invited to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, a third question. What do those receive that come? What do they receive that come? Jesus said, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Those are beautiful words. Those are beautiful words. Jesus promises to those who do come to Him that He will literally the idea of it is refresh them. The idea is He will rest them. He's not saying, come unto Me and I'm going to give you a vacation. That's not what the idea is. Vacations are great. I'm not knocking a vacation. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He is saying, when you come to Me, I will make you refreshed. rested from your labor and that burden, heavy burden of your sin. I will refresh you. How does he do that? How does he do that? Well, I love the song. We sing those beautiful words. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Hallelujah. Through the sacrifice of Christ at Calvary, those burdens can be lifted. They can be borne away. When we respond to Jesus' invitation to come, we turn from our sin and we receive Him. And He takes the burden of our sin upon Himself. Isaiah 53 speaks to this very thing. Beautiful words from Isaiah 53 in verse 4 of Isaiah 53. Get this, if this isn't speaking to exactly what Jesus' invitation is, I don't know what could be. It says there, surely He, that Messiah, the Anointed One, that one that would come, surely He hath borne our griefs. And carried our sorrows. Sounds like He's going to lift our burdens, doesn't it? Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In the sixth verse of Isaiah 53, it says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now listen. And the Lord, Jehovah God, hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Indeed, burdens. That burden of sin is lifted at Calvary. Notice as we read this. Let me read that verse one more time. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're laboring. He's giving. We're burdened, but He rests us. What a God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior He is. We see here that the Lord's invitation to take of me as well. His invitation to take of me. We read there in verse 29. On the heels of this, He says, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, it almost seems to be a contradiction. Jesus says, on the one hand, that He'll deliver the sinner from the burden. But then He says He wants to lay a new yoke upon them. Is that a contradiction? No. No. Dear ones, the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ is a much, much different yoke. Whereas we were under that yoke of sin and that heavy bondage, a yoke that holds us in slavery and in hopelessness. But when we take Christ's yoke, the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take the yoke of a kind, a gentle, He's called here, a meek and humble master. His yoke is not a burden at all. It's a blessing. This is His call to we that receive Him. His call to we that receive Him to serve Him. We enter into His yoke. But get this. We see, also He wants us to learn of Him. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Yes, I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to learn what kind of a master and Lord I have. And He describes Himself as meek and lowly of heart. Learn, beloved, of this one who is gentle and kind with those who enter in to His yoke. Come unto me. Come unto me, He says. But His invitation is what? As He describes in these verses? To find that rest. To find that the Lord's rest. Come unto me and find rest. Find that rest that you've been seeking, been longing for. Find that which your soul desperately needs. Find all your need met in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand something about the Lord's yoke. The yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ is described here as easy. It's a pleasant yoke. It's light compared to the burden, the yoke of sin. You may ask, will the Lord Jesus Christ take away all my problems if I get saved? No. Some of those problems, some of those situations will be alleviated simply by having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But He's not going to take all your problems, all your issues away. But get this. Understand this. The common yoke of the day, the time in which we're reading of, was designed for two oxen to be yoked together with, to pull the load with. You see, the difference the Lord's yoke makes is that we are no longer pulling that load, carrying that burden on our own.
Yes, sir.
Huh? No. With the Lord's yoke, the difference is that He's right there. He's right there, yoked with you. And He's there to carry the load.
Amen.
Remember,
right.
What's He say about His yoke? That it's easy and that it's light. Why? Because He's bearing the burden of it. He bore the burden of our sin to Calvary. And He bears the burden of day-to-day life as we walk and serve with Him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Jesus' invitation is what? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. For that lost soul that's still under the bondage of sin, Jesus' invitation is so clear. Come, let me read how you enter in to that relationship with Him where He takes that burden away. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." How do we enter into that relationship? How do we become the child of God? By faith in Him, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive Him how? By faith. I trust what God did through His Son to take my sin. Believing Him. Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. For the child of God. Where do we fit into this, preacher? For that Christian. You are saved. But maybe you're sensing the burdens and the struggles of this cruel old world. Huh? We understand this old world's not going to get better. Boy, preacher, you're full of all kinds of good news today. Well, it's the truth of the matter. But I don't have to be burdened with that either. I look to my Savior. I look to my Lord Jesus Christ. He's there all the way. His promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His promise. Do we believe Him? Is my faith in Him or not? My trust in Him. Yes. Remember, believer, Jesus loves you. Doesn't get better than that. Jesus loves you. Died for you. And He lives in you. Please don't forget the ministry of our Savior to us. To we that are believers. Christians. Have we forgotten? He challenges us in the passage, learn of Him. Along the way, it could be we forget what we have learned of Him, from Him. He says, take His yoke. Take His yoke and you'll find rest for your souls. What do we do? What are we to do with those burdens? What are we to do with those cares that creep in? I don't care who you are. What do we do with those cares that inevitably come into life? Whether it be that news from the doctor, whether it be something that happens on the job, whether it be some emotional trauma or battle, what do we do with those? What do we do with those cares? Peter tells us exactly what to do with them. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, do you remember what we learn of him there? Casting all. How much? Casting all your care upon him because or for he careth for you. Believer, never forget that. Never forget that. Regardless of how troublesome or how dark the time may seem, the situation or the issue you're dealing with, sometimes it seems like we can't see the daylight. But that's when we need to remind ourselves. It's okay to preach to yourself. I hope so, because I do it all the time. What are you laughing at, Miss Erna? Remind ourselves what? Of what we've learned. Remind ourselves. Hey, He loved me. He loved me so much that He shed His blood for me. Remind me, Lord, when I get down and I forget what You've done for me. Remind me that Your challenge, Your exhortation to me is cast all my cares on You. And as He enters in and picks up the weight. And I'm there. You're there. And He takes the weight of the load and carries us along. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, thank You for these simple yet beautiful, precious words. Thank You, Father, for the day that You'd reveal these things, as Your Son says here, to babes. Babes such as we, not the wise and prudent of this world, which is common folks. Lord, thank You that You'd hold up Your Son before our hearts and eyes, the eyes of our hearts. And Lord, I pray for anyone that may be within these walls at this very moment. God, I ask You in Jesus' name, might they see Jesus
And all His wonder, all His great grace and His mercy, His wonderful love. Oh God, please, might they see that Jesus died for them. And oh God, I pray that as they're struggling and battling under the weight of their sin, they'd be ready and willing to, yes indeed, acknowledge that they are a sinner and be ready to turn from that sin and unto the Prince of Peace, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, please, work in hearts today. And Lord, I pray for any Christian. Lord, there may be folks in this room right now struggling, battling with the issues that this life throws at us. Lord, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, might today they see that yoke from You. That yoke that is easy and light. That yoke where You carry the load for us. Oh God, please encourage struggling folks today in all that Jesus has been pleased to do for them. And we will, Lord. We will be quick and ready to give You all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. The altars are open, beloved. Please, you join these ones that are coming. Please, the Lord's good. The Lord is able. As He'd speak to your heart, please respond to His invitation to come. Not mine, but His. He'll do for you. As we sing, Brother John.
Page 161.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for You.
At some of those, but I just challenge you, I encourage you. There may well be folks here this morning, God's speaking to your heart about this or another. There may be a need just to deal with things in life, to get things right, and that they use that word rededicate. Hey, start afresh with God. Here I am, Lord, use me. I want that. I need that clean slate with You, Lord. I want to go on with You. Please. God's speaking to your heart. Don't hold back. Obey Him. Do what He would say to you to do. As we sing.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is
Oh.
And well, we've got a little bit of business to deal with. Please be seated. And we'll do these one at a time because folks get saved one at a time. Amen. Say it again, the last name.
Ornelas.
I lost the first part. This is Zeke Ornelas has come this morning. And a week ago Saturday, Zeke pulled in the parking lot out here while we were handing out Bibles. He actually parked the car. He got out and Brother Allen met him in the parking lot. And I didn't get over there. They visited for a while and Zeke left. And he promised to be in church the next day. And he was here last Sunday morning. And yesterday, Brother Allen, Brother Gary visited with Zeke. And Zeke professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he's come this morning to present himself for believers' baptism. And it's his desire to unite with Metropolitan Baptist Church. So, church family, all in favor of receiving Zeke's testimony of salvation and his desire to follow the Lord in baptism and become a member of our church, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign and so ordered. Amen. Well, Brother Zeke, I'm going to ask you, you just stand right there. And Jan, would you come? Okay. Amen. What's your last name?
White.
Okay, I should have remembered that. Amen. This is Jan White. And pardon?
It was Carol's sister.
Oh, I was going to say that. You got ahead of me. Jan is Carol Birdwell's sister. And we got to be pretty familiar during the funeral and so forth for Carol. And Jan has been visiting here at Metropolitan quite a bit over the last few months since the funeral. And she's come today and said, God, take away my questions. And or sort of like that. She may still have some questions, but that's okay. And she says he just impressed her that she needed to be become a member of Metropolitan. She said she feels like it's home.
Amen.
Amen. Jan, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior.
Yes, a long time ago.
And you were baptized in a Baptist church of like faith and practice.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, on then, church family, on do you want to unite on that statement of faith then? With our church?
I would love to.
Okay. All right. Well, we sometimes we do it a couple of different ways. But church, do we accept then into membership Jan White on her profession of faith and her testimony of baptism into the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church? All in favor, say amen.
Amen.
Pose the same sign. And welcome to the membership, you two. Amen.
I thank you all because you all are so kind. And you show.
You don't know him that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
And you can see Jesus in you.
Amen.
You're a small group, and I love that. And I love the fact that you love each other.
Well, we're bigger by two today. Amen.
And I love the fact that missions are your main
Amen.
Thing.
Amen.
And this guy's amazing.
She don't know much about that either.
No, I've always wanted to do missions, medical missions.
Amen.
And when I heard that missions was a big thing of yours, I was like, okay. And I wasn't going to be in the I had some questions about this and that. And today he spoke to me. He said, what are you waiting for?
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask, of course, as we say amen, that y'all come by and welcome Jan and Zeke into the membership. Miss Proby can lean in against this. Miss Proby, she has got a real time with her hip. Probably going to have a hip replacement in the future here. And so, church family, you come by and welcome these dear folks into the membership of our church. Let's stand. Brother John, lead us in our chorus.
As Christ arose, up from the grave he arose. On the chorus.
Up from the grave he arose with the light.